The last case on our calendar is 04-1414, Disciplinary Counsel versus Judge William Willard Francis Spicer. Mr. Coghlan.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the court, I'm John Coghlan, Disciplinary Counsel, relator in this matter. The only issue relator has raised in its objections to the board's report is whether or not the ads produced by the Summit County Republican Party, the television ads produced by SCRP, constituted an in-kind contribution to Judge Spicer's campaign and therefore should have been reported pursuant to Canon 7. SCRP spent over $97,000 in TV ads on behalf of Respondent's campaign. Respondent's campaign manager, Mr. Joseph Masich, was responsible for production of all those ads. To be an in-kind contribution, there are four requirements under Canon 7, and three have been stipulated. First, that the ads were of value, that's stipulated. That the ads were used to influence an election, that's stipulated. That the ads were paid for by someone other than the benefited candidate, that's also stipulated. What's not stipulated was whether or not the ads were made with the consent of, in cooperation, coordination, or consultation with, or at the request or suggestion of, the candidate, his campaign, or his agent. That's the question that's before the court that's been raised by relator. Revised Code 3517 is the chapter dealing with political parties and campaigns. 3517.01 is a definitional section. 3517.01.17d defines the phrase made in coordination, cooperation, or consultation with, or at the request or suggestion of any candidate or campaign committee or agent of the candidate. It defines that phrase as meaning made pursuant to any arrangement, coordination, or direction by the candidate, the candidate's campaign committee, or the candidate's agent prior to the publication, distribution, display, or broadcast of the ad. There are three reasons, relator submits, why this court should find that the SCRP's ads, TV ads, were done with the consent of, in coordination, cooperation, or consultation with the respondent, his campaign, or the committee. First was respondent's role. Respondent actually participated in the filming of the ads. Two of the ads were filmed, or footage was filmed for the two of the ads in the fall of that year. Exact same ad that was used for the campaign was used by the party. But the key thing is that when he was there participating in the filming for the footage, the respondent knew that the party was going to use that footage for the party's ads. So he participated in the filming at a time when he knew that the party was going to use that footage for their own ads. And we know that because on page 161 of the hearing transcript, he was asked, when you showed up for the filming, did you understand that it would be used by the party for their ad? The last part of his answer to that question was, as I said, I knew about it. I sat for it and so forth. And I thought that that was what the party was going to use and that we would also use it. So he participated in the decision. He also participated in the decision-making process as to the third ad. The testimony established that on the Wednesday before the election, there was a meeting at the Oktoberfest. Respondent participated in that with party chairman, his campaign manager, Mr. Masich, and I believe they indicated Mr. Casey was on the phone. That discussion at that time was whether or not they should produce an attack ad. He participated in that discussion. A decision was reached that they would do such an ad, and it was created the next day. So what we have is he knowingly participates in the filming of ads which are used by the party, and he participates in the decision to do the third ad, which is used also by the party.
Is there anything inherently unethical or against the canons in participating in filming that the party uses for their own independent ads?
In and of itself, it's not a problem.
So you can show up and for economy reasons and that, they can film it and then you take some of it, use it, and the party takes some of it, use it.
That's perfectly legitimate. Our only concern is he didn't report that as a contribution, an in-kind contribution to his campaign.
He didn't report what? That some of the filming costs should have been allocated to him?
The party spent $97,000 to air those ads. They bought that much time. He didn't report that as a contribution, in-kind contribution to his campaign.
But the party is permitted to run independent ads for a candidate, are they not?
They can do independent ads. If they were to have done some footage without his knowledge, taken some footage off of a TV show or newsreel without his knowledge, he wouldn't have been participating.
So the fact that you, the fact that you filmed something and the party took some of that, you convert that act of just participating in the filming and convert the entire buy for the party's ads to an in-kind contribution just because he let them film him?
He participated in the filming knowing that it was going to be used by the party. That's what makes it in-kind.
Did he declare some of the cost of the filming as expenses on his campaign's part or as in-kind contribution?
He received $38,000 from the party. He made a contribution, he made a payment of $80,000 to Sagamore Communications, who did all the ads. And his campaign manager and the party chair ran Sagamore. So all the money got lumped together. The party's money and his money got lumped into one account. So yes, he did pay for, in theory, he paid for the production of the ads, but you can't, there's no way to discern which of the money the party paid and which of the money he paid actually was allocated to what.
Who paid for the ads run by the party?
The party paid $97,000. They put $97,000 into Sagamore, which they have reported was used to buy the
airtime. Was it reported
time.
On the party's
yes.
expenses? Was it? Did the party claim that that was the party expense for that campaign?
We have in the exhibits the party's reporting, and I'm not sure they have the $97,000 as allocated to Judge Spicer's report. I don't recall that. But what they have testified to at the hearing was, and this is his campaign manager, and we have, I believe there's checks that show that the party gave $97,000 that was used to buy the ads, to buy the airtime for Judge Spicer's campaign.
But my point is that $97,000 expense was reported by the local party as its campaign expense.
I don't believe that that's actually in their campaign expense report, the 97 per se. I don't believe that's in there.
Council,
I might be wrong, but I don't believe that's correct.
Is the point that you are making, or is the conclusion that you draw, this? A party can do independent expenditures for candidates, but that independent expenditures require all of the indicia of being truly independent.
Correct.
And that by participating in the filming and participating in the decision to do some of this, that expenditure by the party, while legal, became an expenditure that was not independent and therefore reportable to the candidate as an in-kind expenditure on the part of the candidate.
Exactly.
Which parties do all the time.
That's correct.
They do that, and that's
right.
Legal to do.
Right.
The problem. And so what did not happen here, presumably, is the party did not notify Judge Spicer that they were reporting on their report an in-kind contribution, or you don't know the answer to that, but he did not report on his report an in-kind contribution for that expenditure.
Correct. I don't believe they reported as in-kind. They may have reported $97,000, but they never reported as in-kind. The obligation, however, under the canons is that he needed to report it as in-kind.
Even if the party did not.
That's correct. The obligation we're dealing with is his.
Is participation required, or is knowledge of what the party is doing for a candidate sufficient?
Well, if we look at Canon 7, it talks about being something that is done with the consent of the candidate or his campaign, done in coordination, cooperation, or consultation with the candidate or his campaign, or done at the request or suggestion of the candidate or his campaign. So it's very broad. So if it's something that the candidate knows about and is participating in either directly or by way of his campaign, it is deemed an in-kind contribution under Canon 7.
So for example, if the party does a party brochure and they take a picture of, they obtain a picture of various judges and put that in the brochure, is that an in-kind contribution or that's an independent expenditure?
I would call that independent, absent some sort of connection between the candidate and his campaign with that brochure. They were trying to, and I understand this, they're trying to save
their
money.
Well, counsel, then if someone requested of a judge's campaign committee, someone from the party, whatever party, please send us one of your press packets, which is standard paraphernalia for a campaign. And that was sent by the campaign manager to whatever political party. Is that enough participation? And the party then went on to use that in their slate advertising, their brochures, even a still on a television commercial.
I don't think so, because there's no knowledge element on the campaign or the candidate's part.
Wait a minute,
as to
wait a minute.
What's
it's requested by a political party of the candidate.
But they don't know what's, I mean, they're asking for the material. It doesn't say what they're going to do with it. Here we have a situation where the judge knew that this filming was going to be used by the party in support of his candidacy. He knew how it was going to be used. In addition, it was his campaign manager that actually did all the work, that put the ads together, along with his political consultant.
Are you asking for a heightened penalty?
No.
You're simply asking for a finding?
I think that if this were to stand, if the board's opinion were to stand, we'd have two standards for in-kind contributions. One that's clearly delineated in 3517, and another one apparently for judicial candidates. And I don't think that that's, it's our position that would not be an appropriate outcome. So we're simply asking for a uniform standard.
Excuse me, if a political party did a mailing on behalf of a candidate at its own expense, would that be an in-kind contribution?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch it.
If a political party did a direct mail campaign on behalf of a judicial candidate, would that be an in-kind contribution, in your view?
No. On its own, independent of the candidate, no. But if the campaign manager organized that mailing,
Or participated in
organizing material to put out the mailing, then his campaign is involved.
Well, go ahead, Justice.
The distinction, then, is you're saying there has to be a participation by the campaign manager. You know, getting back to my example, if the material, the picture, the biography, whatever the information is supplied to the political party when they request. It sounds to me like the campaign, like the candidate's in trouble by your standard.
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think that what we're talking about, and we're talking about the facts in this case, I keep saying campaign manager because that's what we have here, but what we're talking about under Canon 7 is whether or not it's done with the consent of the campaign or the candidate, whether or not it's done with his or her cooperation, coordination, or consultation. It's very
and
broad.
And the providing but, of that information to a political party, knowing full well political parties do independent slate advertising, et cetera, if I supply that picture to the political party, I'm in jeopardy.
I don't agree. I don't think that simply supplying material puts you in jeopardy. I think supplying material, knowing you or your candidate campaign, knowing how it's going to be used, puts you on notice.
Well, I don't think that they're just going to frame it and put it in the office.
If they want to, on their own, do a slate ad, you don't know how it's going to appear, where it's going to be disseminated, if they want to do a brochure, they want to do some sort of a TV ad, you have no idea what or how they're going to use that. And you haven't, in my view, on the limited facts we're talking about, set out a situation where I think the canon would apply.
Mr. Copeland, this isn't a matter of placing someone in jeopardy. This is a matter of requiring a political candidate to report on his campaign expenses.
Correct.
But your office conducts, if I'm correct, a two-hour seminar for all judicial candidates. Now, do you go into this detail and explain to each of these candidates that when this is done and when they participate, or if their campaign managers submit letters or photographs, or if they appear in television advertising, they have an obligation to report that on theirs? And is that made emphatically clear to each of those candidates by your office?
Well, we don't do the seminar. Actually, Rick Dove and John Marshall do the seminar. And it's my understanding they do very good detail and go
into
it.
On this specific topic, this is covered.
I've never been to the seminar. I can't tell you exactly what they say. I know they go into in-kind contributions in detail. So I have to assume the answer to that is yes. But I also know in the facts in this case, we have the circumstance where on behalf of the Republican Party in Summit County, calls were made to Rick Dove to inquire whether or not this would be a problem for the Summit County Republican Party. And that was the problem with the inquiry. They weren't asking the right question.
Was it material to this case that the treasurer of the county party was also acting as the campaign manager for Judge Spicer? I mean, is that a relevant material fact to what we're talking about here? Because as I read the briefs, it seemed that there was that dual capacity that seemed to cause some of the problems as well.
Well, I think the real problem comes from the fact that that's it. That's pretty much it. He had a role on behalf of the party and a role on behalf of the candidate. And trying to function in both roles at the same time caused this difficulty. Had he only been the treasurer, had he been acting independent of the judge's campaign, I think we would have had a very different circumstance. But he was in both roles at all times.
If we agree with you and find that the 96,000 or 92, whatever it is, should it be have been reported as in kind, that then puts him over the limit of what he's allowed to accept. What effect does that have?
Well, there's two things we claim are violations here. One, he needed to report it under Canon 7. He has to report in-kind contributions, so that's one violation.
So he has to go back and amend his
correct. He would have to
terms?
Amend. And the second is he was only allowed to receive $38,400 in contributions from a party. This would obviously, and he got $38,000 from the party. This would have put him over that limit. So that's another violation.
Is he required then to pay that back?
No, it's simply a reporting issue. We're just talking a reporting issue. I hope the court understands. I'm not trying to say that this is a horrible set of circumstances.
What you want is to get is for us to make a statement as to what the rule is here.
Correct. I'm sympathetic to Mr.
No
Judge
more
Spicer.
Sanction. I mean, no more than what the board's recommended. Just tell us how we enforce the rule.
Correct. We just like a little guidance. That's really what it's about. Okay. So use my time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Coghlan. Mr. Johnson.
Justice, may it please the court. My name is George Johnson. I'm here on behalf of Judge Willard Spicer, the respondent. Mr. Chief Justice, you just pointed out that what Mr. Coghlan is requesting is some clarification of the rule. Canon 7, there's a part of Canon 7 which says that what happened here is an in-kind violation regardless of the participation of Judge Spicer or his campaign manager or his agent, because the way the rule is written, it says that a political party, if a contribution of something other than money is made at the request, suggestion, or in consultation with a political party, that is an in-kind contribution. So Canon 7 itself is flawed. There's a part of it that Mr. Coghlan and I and Mr. Dove agree can't mean what it says, but that's what Canon 7 says. Mr. Coghlan talked about Ohio Revised Code 3517. That is not a part of the disciplinary canons. If the section that Mr. Coghlan quoted in his brief, which would make the republication of a candidate's ad by a political party, would make that act itself an in-kind contribution, regardless of consultation, cooperation, et cetera, if that's to be incorporated in the disciplinary rules, then that needs to be specifically incorporated.
Counsel, isn't the issue here, the legal issue, pretty well set and established and known, and isn't it this? To be an independent expenditure, you have to meet very strict criteria.
Yes.
And specialist lawyers are employed by all the folks who want to do independent expenditures to tell them exactly how to do that and to remain independent,
right,
so they don't violate the law. Does it logically follow that if you don't follow those and you're not an independent expenditure, it's not an independent expenditure, then it becomes an in-kind contribution to the candidate?
I think it's one or the other.
So
it's either an independent contribution or if it's not,
and
it's an in-kind.
Do you disagree that the rules of the road with respect to independent expenditure require no coordination by the candidate or the candidate's committee?
Yes, that's what Canon 7 says.
Let's not worry about Canon 7, first of all. Let's worry about what the law is, the election law is on that.
Your Honor,
presumably Canon 7 attempts to mirror what the election laws provide, state and federal. You're suggesting perhaps that Canon 7 goes even further.
Further and not as far. It doesn't incorporate the portion of 3517 that's in Relator's brief, which would make the republication of any political ad an in-kind contribution in and of itself. But I think the facts are extremely important on this point. On the day of filming, Judge Spicer is walking away from the filming with Alex Arshinkoff, the chairman of the Summit County Republican Party, and Arshinkoff says, we're going to use this footage as well for an ad by the party. Spicer's response is, that sounds dangerous to me. I want you to check it out with the Supreme Court. Arshinkoff has a political consultant interact with Rick Dove in three or four conversations, and the consultant comes back to the Summit County Republican Party and says, the punchline is, as long as the ad is controlled by, paid for, and acknowledged by the party and not the candidate, that you can do it, that it's not an in-kind contribution. And therefore, there is no further consultation with Judge Spicer. Nobody asks him about it, nobody tells him about it. He didn't even know that the bond ad was going to, the attack ad was going to run over the Republican Party's disclaimer. So what the party has done is they've tried to honor the information that they got and to keep the judge out of the process.
The advice was that that would not be an in-kind contribution? Are you sure what the advice was not that it's not an independent contribution?
No, the advice was, and it's been stipulated, that that would not be an in-kind contribution.
I'm concerned about, Mr. Coghlan talked about some conversation where Mr. Casey was on the phone and your client was there, and he sort of has this as the third prong of why this becomes in-kind. Can you address that fact pattern? Because that seems to be, at least in my reading of his presentation, one of the things that put it into I had knowledge, control, direction category. And you're seeming to indicate that didn't happen. So can you address his point?
At the Republican Party Oktoberfest, which happened on the Wednesday preceding the election, Arshinkoff was there, Mesich, a bunch of party people, and they were talking about some comments that Judge Bond had made at a campaign night and a follow-up article in the newspaper. And they were talking about responding with an ad against Judge Bond. There were no specifics discussed during that. There wasn't a script. When Spicer left that meeting, Alex Arshinkoff and Sagamore Communications were going to make some kind of a responsive ad. The ad was never shown
and,
to him.
And the judge agreed to that undertaking.
Well, he knew it was going to happen, and he didn't ask to review it, and he saw it on Thursday night and didn't pull it, and that's the foundation
for
the guilty.
But he's in a meeting where that's discussed.
That's the reason that he's been found guilty on count one.
Okay.
And we accepted that responsibility.
I just thought that was an absolute something a candidate cannot do if you want to remain independent.
But the important thing, Judge, is he didn't know it was going to run as a slate ad. On Thursday night, he didn't know this was going to run as a slate ad. Nobody told him that. He assumed that this was going to be an ad that his campaign ran. And then when he talked to Mesich on Thursday night and said, this doesn't seem right to me, it's very hard-hitting, Mesich says to him, it's 100% accurate, Judge, wait until you see the whole commercial. So there's three prongs that realtors put forward. One is participation.
That's his campaign chairman is telling.
It's a man without a title. There's a different man that is a campaign manager, but he is acknowledged to be the de facto organizer of the campaign.
All right.
Is he an agent of Spicer? That's the question, I think, under the Canon 7 analysis about these in-kind contributions. Mesich admitted lying to Spicer. He gave Mr. Williams information to file a grievance against Judge Bond and didn't tell Spicer about it. When Williams filed the grievance and sent the grievance to Mesich,
he's a great guy.
Mesich gave it to the paper and didn't tell Spicer about it. The first time the judge knew about it was when Mesich testified truthfully at the disciplinary hearing. Mesich testified that Alex Arshinkoff was his boss for all things campaign related, page 115 of the transcript. Mesich testifies that Alex called the shots on how the Summit County Republican Party was going to spend the slate ad money. And he testified that when Spicer talked to him on Thursday about the possibility of pulling the Spicer ad, even if Spicer had told him to pull the ad, he wouldn't have pulled the ad that was running over the Summit County disclaimer. Now, I respectfully submit that Mesich was not Judge Spicer's agent in these commercials. Mesich is wearing not two hats, but three. He's the co-owner of Sagamore Communications with the chairman of the Summit County Republican Party. He's the treasurer of the party. And he is the de facto campaign manager for Judge Spicer. All of the actions which are offensive here have been secreted from Judge Spicer or have been taken at the direction of Arshinkoff. And so I agree that the Canon 7 needs to be clarified. For one thing, if somebody's calling Rick Dubb's office and saying, the party is intending to do this. What Mr. Dove ought to say is Canon 7 itself prohibits a political party from doing that. That's what the words of Canon 7 say, without having the ads paid for by the political party be an in-kind contribution. That wasn't done here. But Spicer is completely, he's a bystander. To sanction or find that he is guilty of failing to report under these circumstances, where he's asked the Summit County chairman to make sure that this is okay with the Supreme Court, where the chairman has attempted to do that and somehow misunderstood the directions, where the actions that his campaign chairman is taking have been kept from him, is unfair. He's sanctioned for the ad, which he stood up and took responsibility for. He said, I should have reviewed it, I didn't review it, I'm responsible for it, and the ad is misleading. But to find him guilty of this second count, which both the panel and the board found he was not, I would submit as inappropriate.
Are you saying that the judge did not know the three capacities of Masich? He didn't know he was the treasurer of the party. He didn't know he was a principal in Sagamore Communications as well as acting as a campaign manager?
He did know that he was the treasurer of the political party.
Did not?
He did.
Did.
Yes, he did. Whether or not he knew that Masich was the co-owner of Sagamore Communications is not of record. I think I know the answer to that, but I don't think it would be appropriate for me to put that into the record when it's not. But the important thing is that he didn't know that Masich was following directions other than directions given by him. And Masich testified unabashedly that his words were, Alex Arshinkoff is the boss, is my boss in campaign-related matters. And so does Canon 7A need some clarification? Yes. Should it be at Willard Spicer's expense? No.
So, counsel, your understanding is, and the recommendation of the board and the panel both, is a public reprimand.
Yes, Judge.
And I'll ask Mr. Coughlin when he gets up here, but it's my understanding that he's asking for a public reprimand also with the addition of the count two.
That's what I understood him to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Coughlin, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Thank you. Just briefly, one comment. I don't agree with my opposing counsel with the statement that Rick Dove said over the phone to Casey. That is not an in-kind contribution. The question that was asked, and this is what the testimony from Mr. Masich was, the question that was asked was, are there any restrictions in the canons for a political party from putting together an ad, a slate ad? And the answer was no, because Canon 7 doesn't address political parties. It addresses candidates. It never asked the question from the perspective of a candidate. And that was the problem with the questions and relying on the non-lawyers. Your question as to the sanction, Your Honor, we had originally requested 6 months stayed. After hearing all the evidence, after seeing the role that the judge played here, we did not feel it was necessary to consistently ask for that sanction. His role here, how he was dealt with by the party and how he trusted them, and we were led to believe he was kept in the dark. What he said was he trusted these people. He had worked with them for many years. He trusted them. That was a mistake on his part, apparently, as we now know since we're sitting here. But we didn't feel, based on his role, that it should be anything more than a public reprimand, so we have not objected to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coughlin. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.